At the Ag Media Summit, I'm visiting with Ted Jackson, who is our luncheon speaker here. And first of all, Ted, for people who don't know you, tell me what you do.
I'm a staff photographer, actually senior photographer at the local newspaper here, the Times-Picayune.
Well, I know that unfortunately I could not be at your presentation, but I've already been listening to people who are talking about it. So what I guess I might just ask first is, if there was some theme or message that you wanted people to walk away from here with, what would that be?
Really, I wanted people to understand what it was like to be here during Katrina. There was a lot of misconceptions around the country, but basically the basic raw facts is that most people have no idea how bad it was. We had a lot of tours for the first year, especially people would coming in, politicians or friends or relatives or whatever. And I would take them on the what I called my magical misery tour, and just give them a sense of just how bad it was. And to a T, everybody would say the same thing. Said you know, no matter how educated, how informed, how well-read they were, everybody said the same thing. I had no idea it was this bad. And as time passes and memories fade, it's important to continue to remind people what happened in New Orleans and the stories of the experience of being here. I guess I was kind of lucky. Several magazines kind of forced me to write short articles immediately after the storm, and I'm so glad I did, because those things are so rich to refer to right. to remind myself that it's hard to believe what Katrina did to the city.
Well, I heard somebody here say they went on a Katrina tour, and I thought, there is such a thing? And
there is.
What would that be? I mean, is it just because there are lasting effects from this?
Absolutely. It's a, I call it a kind of a tale of two cities still. That there, you could being the French Quarter, be downtown. You could really live in the city for you could be here for a long time and never see the scars of Katrina. But you get into the neighborhoods, especially Lakeview, the Lower Ninth Ward, especially Chalmette and New Orleans East, and the devastation is just it's still raw. And it's not that you're going to see a lot of houses that are still filled with mucked, raked furniture. Most of that has been, you know, gutted out by now. But now you'll see empty lots, and you know, that go on forever, and slabs that have never been replaced. And the Lower Ninth Ward is very much that. New Orleans East is very much that. And a lot of people still have not been able to make it back for one reason or the other, and people are still dealing with a lot of the trauma of rebuilding for one reason or the other.
Could you perhaps share maybe just one anecdote of what it was like as from a job perspective to work on this catastrophe?
It's hard to choose one.
No, I'm sure there's lots. But
there's
just any one.
The one that I usually start with was the very first one that I really faced, and when I was the first photographer from the newspaper, at least. I don't know who else was out there at the time, but I was the first one for the Times-Picayune to discover what had happened to the Lower Ninth Ward. And I crossed the bridge on foot, and the first thing I saw was just miles of the vista of houses swamped up to the roof, and immediately to my right on from the bridge was a family who was clinging to their porch, and they were screaming to me for help. I was the only one there, and because of the circumstances, the distance involved, the current was raging, the lack of resources, there was absolutely nothing I could do except probably the most offensive thing I could have done to them was to shoot their picture. And we screamed over the howling winds, the hurricane was still blowing at the time, about what I thought they should do to help themselves stay safe. And they were screaming back to me of what they wanted me to do to save them and rescue them. And it was impossible, because their plan would certainly involve people dying. And So that was very horrific for me. And as the story ends up, I had to shoot the picture, then leave, and then I went back to the newspaper, got a boat and a rope, and came back. And by the time I got back, the porch was empty. No one had seen them, and I just assumed the worst. Mm-hmm. As it turns out, some teenagers with the boat was able to rescue them. But what I was having to live with for so long was, and that's the first in a series of the ethical decisions of doing my job or trying to put the cameras down and help people. It just repeated itself over and over and over again for the first week, I guess.
I guess the only other thing I thought I would ask here, knowing this is the newspaper you're working for, but is there an online location where imagery or some of what you've done might still be found? If
you can find it on our website on NOLA.com, but it's spread out and you have to go looking for it. So that's it, but it's there. It's NOLA.com, which stands for New Orleans, Louisiana. I have a website, it's tedjackson.net, where you can find the Katrina work and lots of other.
Okay.
Another good spot to find it, which I refer a lot of people to, is the digitaljournalist.org. And if you just put digital journalist in Google, it's easy to find. And what I like about that is that they, at the time, they took 60 or so pictures from Katrina's coverage and asked me to write detailed captions, not about what was happening in the picture, but what I was experiencing at the moment. And I still find those haunting to read because it was so fresh and early, and it's pretty raw.
Well, great. Well, I thank you very much for being here and to do the presentation for our conference, and appreciate your time here. I'm going to since we're on the web, it's always like to link things. That's what it's all about. So we'll point them that way. Again, that's Ted Jackson, who was our lunch speaker here at the Ag Media Summit. I'm Chuck Zimmerman.